here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Today is Friday, March 10th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world.
Later on in the show, we will be taking a look at the IPO market, a corner of Wall Street that is buzzing after the historic Snap Inc. debut.
Yes, Ryan and I will be discussing an initial public offering that happened this week, previewing an upcoming IPO from a growing apparel maker, but it could be glowing as well.
Glowed up, yeah.
And highlighting some companies we'd like to go public this year. But first, Ryan is going to fill us in on what's going on with oil prices this week.
Yes, it has been a crazy week for the oil market. West Texas Intermediate crude prices dipped below the kind of key $50 per barrel mark this week, reaching their lowest point this year. Kind of a response to several different reports that came out on Tuesday. The American Petroleum Institute reported a gain of 11.6 million barrels in domestic supplies. That came in well ahead of the forecasted $2 million barrel increase. U.S. production climbed to nearly 9 million barrels a day. That's the highest production level in more than a year. And then that was kind of compounded by a Wednesday report, a government report from the U.S. Energy Information Administration. They reported an 8.2 million barrel increase in domestic supplies for last week, marking the ninth straight weekly increase and bringing total inventory to 528.4 million barrels, which is a record high. As domestic inventory continues to climb, of course, the spotlight is going to be on OPEC, the oil production cartel that, as we know, has promised to slash output over the next few months. OPEC Secretary General Mohamed Barkindu, apologies if I butchered the pronunciation of that name, was actually in the United States this week for a rather rare, almost unprecedented, casual chat with U.S. shale producers. They ate dinner together. Him and like 20 U.S. oil producers had a dinner.
Do you think they ate like steak and potatoes?
I don't know what they had, but I know that they ate and chatted in Houston over the weekend. There was a conference in Houston this week.
From one of our previous podcasts, Houston, crazy good food city. So
that's true. That's a very good point. And Beyonce was born there.
Yeah.
So Barkindu would later say after this conference that commitment among OPEC members who agreed to the recent output cuts, quote, remains high. So even in the face of ramped up production and supplies in the United States, OPEC staying committed to their cuts, at least for the next several months.
And this seems to be like a month-by-month basis, quarter-by-quarter basis. We can't really project much into the future.
And he's been on a several-week tour of reminding people that the production cuts are happening and still happening, as I think when reports like this come out about domestic production, there's almost just an assumption being made that some OPEC members are, you know, going to be less willing to just kind of forfeit market share in the name of maintaining prices. But it'll be interesting to see. I think the next official OPEC meeting is in May. And that'll be is expected to include a discussion about extending these cuts for the next several months. So we will see then. Also, keep your eye on non-OPEC members like Russia, obviously going to have a huge influence as well. Moving on, something that we have discussed briefly in the past, going to talk about even more as there's even more to talk about.
Yeah.
Facebook. Copying Snapchat.
Again. The third time.
What's the deal, man?
So on Thursday, Facebook announced the global launch of its third Snapchat clone, and it's called Messenger Day. So it's within its Messenger app.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna throw this out there. My least favorite name of the. Well, we'll save that for later because we haven't even mentioned the other two that are out there yet.
So users now will be able to post annotated, filtered, affected pictures and videos within the Messenger app on both iOS and Android software, smartphone software, that disappear after 24 hours. Does that sound familiar? I don't know. Which is basically the same way Snapchat's Stories platform works. So, of course, Facebook owns Instagram, which employed its own successful version of Snapchat, also called Stories. And they, God, that's been out for about a year-ish now.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on a year. It came out in the summer last year.
Yeah, so coming up about a year, you're right. So Facebook also recently debuted WhatsApp Status, not too long ago, very recently. Mm-hmm. And that's a new feature to the messaging platform that lets users share photos and videos in a montage format for up to 24 hours before they disappear.
Okay, now I'm going to bring it back in. Messenger Day, Instagram Stories, WhatsApp Status. Messenger Day, what is that all about? I don't like it.
So the day, so when you post photos to, you post photos to your day. So,
that's
why it's called that.
Okay, so it's,
so instead of posting to you like your my story, it's my day.
And it's a 24-hour thing, so that makes sense.
Yes.
All right, I'm coming around to it. I like it now.
It's a little clever, but,
and this is, I think the other thing to note here is this is the first Facebook Snapchat clone that's actually now on Facebook, even though it's on Messenger.
Yeah, well, apparently Facebook is reportedly working on bringing a Snapchat-like platform to its actual namesake website. But who knows how successful that will be. But, you know, that could be something to look forward to in the future.
Huh. Well, they just won't give it up, will they?
I mean, Instagram Stories is really popular. I mean, that's what I use.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see also, like, as this kind of plays out, when we start to get numbers on usership, because I think we mentioned on this show, Instagram Stories is up to like 150 million people using it already. So, be cool. Interesting to see if Facebook's, all of their platforms can maintain
users. Well, yeah. Well, the thing with Facebook is they're attacking, I don't know if that's the right word, but they're,
let's use attacking.
Okay, attacking every avenue that they think their users might want to utilize or just use in some sort of function. And Snapchat has been that path since it launched. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
And let's do it.
It almost makes you think that Snapchat's going to have to do something new to the experience so that it remains a uniquely Snapchat
thing.
Because now it's not. Speaking of people who have some new things maybe they should try out, I want to talk about Caterpillar this week. Been a rough week for the
manufacturing giant.
Yeah, unfortunately. So this kind of all, well, it started, it's been going on for years.
Yes.
But in this week's news, shares of Caterpillar fell more than 2.8% on Monday after the construction equipment maker was accused of committing tax and accounting fraud. This is according to an unreleased report obtained by the New York Times. Caterpillar apparently did not comply with either U.S. tax law or U.S. financial reporting rules. Kind of a double whammy. Mm. So, quote, I believe that the company's noncompliance with these rules was deliberate and primarily with the intention of maintaining a higher share price. These actions were fraudulent rather than negligent, end quote. That is from Leslie A. Robinson, an accounting professor at Dartmouth College and the author of the report. I will say from the Times story, it was unclear which government agency
commissioned. Because the report was commissioned by the government.
And unclear who commissioned it and whether federal investigators also are coming to those same conclusions.
Correct.
But a report nonetheless, and one with harsh...
damning evidence.
Yeah, damning evidence, and one could assume would have harsh consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the important phrase there is fraudulent rather than negligent. Tends to have a little bit more of a legal, in the legal perspective, fraudulent a little bit more important. So we did know already that Caterpillar was subject to a federal investigation. Last week we heard that federal officials raided, would be the word maybe I would use, executed a search warrant at three separate Caterpillar locations, including their national headquarters in Illinois. Caterpillar said that it was cooperating with the investigation, and then said it was likely linked to accusations that it used a Swiss subsidiary to reduce its tax bill. As I mentioned, this has kind of been going on for a long time, though. Caterpillar has repeatedly defended its tax strategies, saying that what they utilize are practical and lawful techniques that are used among U.S. corporations. Mm-hmm. They were the subject of a 2014 Senate hearing where they were kind of under the microscope of government investigators. The hearings found that the manufacturer cut its tax bill by $2.4 billion over 13 years by moving its earnings out of the U.S. and into a Swiss subsidiary. The Swiss subsidiary is like a parts maker. It's a whole interesting thing and not necessarily the newest story in the world either. Like we said, been going on for a couple of years, but also giant U.S. corporation plays some chess to reduce their tax bill. Switzerland is involved. We've heard it a million times, but having an effect this week on Caterpillar share prices.
Right, especially with the new administration.
Mm-hmm.
Apple, Pfizer, Google, like they all do it.
Yeah.
But it looks like Caterpillar got
caught. That's just a very brief list.
Right, very brief list.
We would need to name every company that's based in the United States. Now, obviously, I kid, but, and you're right, with the corporate tax reform very much in the spotlight right now with the new administration. So it'll be interesting to see. I have a feeling that we are in the early days of this story still.
Yeah.
The offices are just getting raided last week and we're just getting some reports leaking this week, we could still be on the cusp of charges being filed.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. I love a nice charges filed, executives arrested. Anyway, moving on to our main story of the week. Did not expect to be talking about Wesley Snipes on the episode this week, but... hard pivot. Very hard pivot. We're going to be talking IPOs again. We've been talking IPOs for a while now with the market debut of Snap Inc., of course, the parent company of Snapchat, already been mentioned on the show. If anything, Snap's historic debut has ignited a fire under investors, I think, and a new demand for IPOs.
Awakened them.
We want IPOs, they scream. So some IPO news this week and some IPOs we're looking forward to potentially coming in 2017. I want to start with an IPO that went down on Thursday. J. Jill is a women's apparel retailer, a staple of, not, I wouldn't call it a staple, it's not Auntie Anne's, but a mall retailer from
around the... No, it's a mall staple. You could call it a mall staple.
Okay.
It's like
I'm not within
you're not its core customer.
No, so that it's not a staple for
me. But neither am I. It definitely targets older women between the ages of 40 and 65, but it also targets affluent women. I think they said in their prospectus their average customer comes from a household that brings in $150,000 in annual net income. So they're all, but I mean, you go into their stores, their clothes aren't cheap. And I don't think they employ a lot of discounts like you see at Gap and Banana, J. Crew.
Not the highest end of retailers, but also not one you're going to for the ridiculous sales.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So shares were priced at $13. Again, this is on Thursday.
Yeah, that was below the expected $14 to $16.
Interesting.
Range.
The stock is trading on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol JIL. Also
JILL.
JILL. Sorry. Yes. Jill. Also, you could,
very easy.
You could call it J Jill. The ticker is Jill. So this isn't the one, I don't think. This isn't the
next one.
The big tech IPO or the big blockbuster IPO that investors are clamoring over.
Right.
Well,
I think a lot of them were like, this apparel stock, very low key apparel stock, because mm-hmm. we're like, oh, J. Jill's still around? What?
True. Founded in 1959.
It's been around for a long time. It gets the majority of its sales from its online source and also its catalog, which I think is really surprising.
Catalogs, what's that?
Yeah, right. But you know, an apparel stock, an apparel IPO in this retail environment is really crazy to me, and it's really it's scary. And I think a lot of obviously the initial response to the IPO wasn't like hot. It was a little
scorching.
Lukewarm.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting because an IPO, when everyone's buzzing for more IPOs, makes sense. And an IPO of a kind of mildly recognizable mall retailer when the American mall is dying and retail is struggling across the board.
It's a little questionable.
It seems like,
but
what?
You also have to look the amount. So their online sales make up almost 40% of their total revenues, which is, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And that's a definite bright spot.
I'd call it a significant chunk.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that should be like heavily considered for favor if you're looking to buy into this company, especially with the state of the retail environment and the state of the retail environment going forward, because it's definitely going into that direction. And they're mm-hmm. already there. They've been there. They know how to do it. They know how to work it. They've been working the system where, let's say, Amazon's at the top, right? And everyone else has had to kind of cater to them. J. Jill's already been doing it for years.
Sure.
So that's definitely something to put into their favor.
Sure. Sure.
But something to see. It's a company to keep our eye on for sure in the current environment.
Speaking of current environment, IPOs that are on the cusp, things that we can expect soon. Another interesting appareler, if you will. Canada Goose, known by most for their certainly expensive parkas and...
They're very understated.
And coats.
Except the coyote fur, the real coyote
that's
fur.
That's loud. That's trim. Making a statement.
Yes, on the hoods.
$1,000 parkas right in that range. Mm-hmm. High-end for a winter coat, but... looking to go public soon. Canada Goose, obviously a Canadian-based company, is looking to list shares in both New York and Toronto, offering 20 million shares priced in the range of 14 to 16 Canadian dollars. And at the top of that range, the company would be valued at 1.7 billion Canadian dollars or just over 2 billion US dollars. Another company that's going to have to take this relatively unfriendly retail environment into consideration, especially because it has a limited product selection.
Definitely.
A limited product selection right now, we could say.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something
there's
to think about there.
There's potential for expansion.
They make winter coats. That's that's just about it. Am I missing something? Is that it?
They make winter coats for women, for men, and for kids.
Okay.
They do. But they make a broad range of winter coats, okay. Right? They have parkas. They have lighter weight jackets. They have bombers. They have more fashion coats, you could say. They have rain jackets. But you also got accessories, right? You have coats.
Coats,
obviously. You have hats. You have gloves, I think.
Things to keep you warm.
Yeah, I was also on their website the other day. You have like snow suits, like overalls. But they could go into boots, shoes. We were talking the other day, they could go into like snow sport wear.
Sure, yeah.
That could be a huge revenue driver for them.
So something that maybe seems limited now, but potentially has the room for growth, at least in the size of their product line. One thing to note, competitors-wise, you're looking at a company that's going to go head-to-head with companies like Patagonia and North Face. However, coming in higher on the pricing scale than
Definitely.
Those two companies.
And I will say, Patagonia and North Face, they aren't cheap.
No.
I mean, a Patagonia men's parka, for example, could go as high as $550.
Uh-huh.
And that's not cheap. Like, that's not cheap for a lot of people.
No.
But
yeah, this is a company with a very specific demographic in mind.
Definitely.
And that's a demographic that has money to spend.
Yeah.
But as high as the prices are, probably peak popularity for Canada Goose right now.
They're everywhere.
If you don't know, if you're hearing Canada Goose and you have no idea what we're talking about, Google image search a picture of Canada Goose's jackets and you will go, oh yes, I've seen many of people wear those. They have a very signature look to them.
And the patch on the upper left arm.
Yes, recognizable by the patch and the fur lining, mm-hmm. I would say. Another thing to note about the IPO, it could be the biggest apparel debut since Lululemon, which is something to highlight because I think... also operating in this kind of weird, we're expensive, but like you get what you pay for because we're a really high quality brand.
That's a good point.
Type of area.
And also caters to a certain affluent
mm-hmm.
demographic of like a higher income, like a metropolitan type of person, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Or Hannah Goose. Because really, it was made for people who like live in the Arctic.
Yeah. It comes from Canada. In the Great White North. So keep your eyes out for Canada Goose. And then we're going to kind of shift into... And keep your eyes out because they have very specific... A date has not been announced yet, but they have very specific plans. I will also say before we move on, cross-promotional pitch. Go check out Maddie's episode of Shopping for Stocks. This week, what is it? Third episode of Shopping for Stocks.
Go into a little bit more in depth about the company and their history and how they kind of got this luxury connotation, if you will.
Awesome. That is new. That is Maddie's new podcast about the retail sector.
There's still hope.
As Friday Finish Line listeners will know, Maddie is our resident retail expert, so I defer to all things I defer to Maddie's opinion because she knows her clothes. That is a IPO to look out for in the near future. IPOs that we want in 2017: Spotify.
Okay. Now, I will have to say, I was reading something the other day that they might delay until 2018, but I will come back to that.
Okay.
That's just a report.
Mm-hmm.
So Spotify, my go-to streaming music platform. On my iPhone. The company recently announced that it has 100 million monthly active users and 50 million paying for the service. So Spotify Premium, huge success.
Yeah.
The company is the leader in the market right now, but with Apple Music gaining ground incredibly quickly and the company still bleeding cash, Spotify has to make moves soon. In 2016, Spotify completed a whopping $526 million round of funding, putting it at a valuation of roughly $8.5 billion. And about a year ago, the company raised $1 billion in convertible debt on the promise that its new investors will receive a 30% discount on shares when it files for an IPO. Now, this is what makes us think that they would have filed for an IPO sooner rather than later. Yeah. Now, Spotify will have to pay a 5% annual interest on the debt, however, and 1% more every 6 months, up to a total of 10% until it goes public.
So they have an interest-based interest. That's a really horrible set of words. Based on the interest that they have to pay back on this debt, they have kind of an incentive to go public sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Which is something to note, especially since, you know, this isn't like Canada Goose where we are getting filings and we're getting a price range and an amount of shares. There are no plans out there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of speculation basically because of the structuring of this loan.
Right.
Now, what was this tidbit about 2018?
I was reading this article on TechCrunch that there's a report that Spotify might delay until 2018 because it was rethinking its licensing deals with these major music labels.
Which is, of course, another key thing, especially in the conversation of Apple Music being the key competitor. Apple Music growing at a rate that makes Spotify's growth rate look simply childish, if we must Correct. Admit. And I think Apple Music really has benefited from the relationships that they've been able to build, not just with record companies, but also with individual artists, signing individual artists to release deals where they debut their music on Apple Music or it's exclusive to Apple Music forever.
Right.
Not something we've seen Spotify do. And if anything, Spotify has been contentious with artists and record labels, it seems like. Obviously, they do a great... If you use Spotify, you know they do a great job with artist-curated playlists.
They I love those.
Frequently have artists come in and do like Spotify sessions and stuff like that. So it's not like... The music industry hates Spotify. That's certainly not the case.
No, the music industry just hates music streaming.
Yeah. But it has been interesting to see Apple Music's kind of course of action in targeting artists to release on Apple Music exclusively, as opposed to Spotify's relationship with artists, which is more of the kind of curated playlists.
Mm-hmm.
Commentary tracks.
Yeah.
Those are always interesting. I'm letting my bias show through a little bit because I pay for Spotify Premium and use Spotify Premium and I'm not an Apple Music user. But
like if Spotify can't negotiate these new licensing deals, then what is the future of Spotify? I mean, music labels like Sony and Universal and Warner, they own 80% of recorded music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there would be no future for Spotify.
Yeah.
So like they have to negotiate, they have to get a better deal because they pay a ridiculous amount in royalties.
And that kind of speaks to the grander issue of Spotify also needs to figure out a way to make money.
That's true. Because I don't know if they've made a profit yet.
So I think as evidenced by the fact that they are still taking out these convertible debt loans. there's a funding problem, and a lot of people look to IPOs for funding problems. But if your business model is not sustainable in the long term, is an IPO the best decision for you? I don't know. Probably not, actually. Another company I want to talk about, though, also kind of in the tech sector.
It's a tech company.
App and website, Airbnb, also in the travel business.
Yes. This looks more promising. That's, I mean, don't get me wrong, a Spotify IPO would be really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But this one looks even more so.
Okay. So Airbnb, as we mentioned, app and website. It's interesting, you know, Spotify music streaming service, we obviously touched on that. But Airbnb is this kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
It's its own concept. It feels weird to have to explain it. I will explain it, but it feels weird to have to explain it because I feel like it's a recognizable company that has innovated its own kind of niche so well that everyone has heard of it at this point. Obviously,
they might not know what they really do.
Yeah, so
but they know what it is.
You go on the website of the app. And you can book it's a lodging based app/website. So you book lodging at places. But the reason it's interesting is because you are typically booking places to stay with individual people. They aren't hotels. They aren't any chains. They are individual owners of apartments, condos.
Houses,
rooms.
In certain cities.
Right. Who are renting out these spaces through Airbnb to interested travelers. They have over 3 million listings worldwide, 65,000 cities, 191 countries, and a total guest list of more than 150 million people. This is a really, really big international company that has a serious influence in travel and tourism around the globe. That is not without controversy, of course. If you can imagine, there's a lot of a growing vibe of property owners.
Oh, it's been there.
Managers.
It's been growing.
That
I would say it's festering.
Aren't thrilled with the idea of making apartments and rooms in apartments temporary hotels, if you will.
I mean, New York passed a law last year that made it illegal for citizens or of like this city. Citizens. Oh, I can't talk today. I'm
the
sorry.
City citizens.
For under 30 days to rent out a room.
Okay. So legal issues on the forefront, not in the sense of the company getting sued or anything, but just literally, can the business legally operate the way that it is?
You have the same issues in San Francisco. You had that huge racial controversy. Hashtag Airbnb while black. I mean, that was probably one of the biggest controversies that the company would ever have had to face.
So some good news, though,
the valuation is unreal.
Private valuation of $30 billion, which means...
it puts Snapchat to shame.
Yeah, it does. And it's, thinking of competitors-wise, worth only about $4 billion less than Marriott, a well-established international hotel chain. This is as of its latest round of private equity funding. It is now the second most valuable private U.S. startup behind Uber, which, interestingly enough, kind of has a similar business model to Uber.
The sharing economy.
Sharing economy. Hashtag sharing economy. this new round of funding, in addition to a separate deal where investors are planning to buy $200 billion worth of stock from Airbnb employees, has been regarded as a move to relieve some of the pressure of filing for an IPO in the near term. Which kind of raises questions about the schedule for this company to go public. They aren't kind of hard-pressed, I guess, like Spotify is, where there's this kind of almost financial wall coming up.
But it almost feels like if the longer Airbnb could stay private, probably the better for them.
Yeah. Especially as the company works on figuring out and lobbying for their right to exist in a lot of cities.
Yeah.
So that's something to keep a look out for. However, us IPO greedy investors who love a nice blockbuster market deal, even if it does cause headaches in the week following the IPO, as we've seen with Snapchat, we love our IPOs. We want more. We want Spotify. We want Airbnb.
You might have to wait a while, though.
We want Uber. We want it all. So that just about does it for us this week on the Friday Finish Line. As a reminder, if you think we missed something or if you would like to pitch us a story, you want to hear something on the Friday Finish Line that we haven't talked about yet, go ahead and shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. Check out all of our exclusive audio content, such as Maddie's Shopping for Stocks podcast.
And your Tech Talk Tuesday.
At zacks.com/podcasts. Thank you, as always, for joining us, and we will see you next week.